I have a very real fear of like falling off the stage. This gets a little in my peripherals and I lose my depth perception, so say a little prayer for me. But so this morning I thought about sharing my favorite memories of each student that we're honoring this morning, and I found that approach to be a little overwhelming. I couldn't pick just one favorite memory. It couldn't be done. I have a lot of memories, and so that was difficult. So what I'm going to share with you all this morning is what I wrote down. All right, and so here's what I did. The other night I just started writing things down about this class as they came to mind. All right, and it turned out that I came up with something for every student, but that's not. I had to change my process up a little bit. So here's what I wrote down. Let me start off by saying this is the first class that I've gotten to minister with and so to work with that I can remember thinking they should not be this old. And I know every parent feels like that every single year, but for me this is really the first year that's hit me with these students. So Slade Anderson, Hayden Hood, and Aaron Brumley are the very first Hillcrest students that I ever met. I was their camp counselor at Camp Champion in Lubbock in the summer of 2011. So they were between 7th and 8th grade. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I'm so lucky that I feel like I have the coolest campers. One of them, I'm not going to tell you names, I'll let you figure it out. One of them at breakfast every morning dominated the conversation by talking about, you know, there is nothing that he couldn't fix or repair. The second student kept getting in trouble because one time I walked into the parlor, Katie Rogers' parlor there on campus, and it was this one student and the rest of the counselors. And it was kind of weird. And he just had so much energy, and that kept getting him in trouble. And then the third student spent most of his time trying to keep the second student out of trouble. And so that was kind of, those were my experiences with those three guys, and that left a really good impression on me, getting to know them. And from there, you know, here we are. And it's things have flown by. And again, some of these things might not mean anything to you because some of them are pretty random. So forgive me if you don't know what I'm talking about. But hopefully for those of you who do know what I'm talking about, this kind of can be meaningful. And this is in no particular order. Avery Davis really likes to dress up like a banana. That's something that I'll always remember about this class. One of the strangest conversations I've ever had in my whole life. It was with Rebecca Tyndall. She might not remember this, and I hope I don't embarrass her. It was at VIP camp in 2013, and it was the first conversation I ever had with Becca, actually, that I remember. And I was sitting at a table, and she walks up to me and sits down, and I don't remember the specifics, necessarily all the specifics of the conversation, but very quickly it got to, she said, so how do you plan on proposing to a girl? It gets weirder. And then she tells me about like her dream proposal. But what made it weird is that she had no idea that the next day I was going to propose to Chelsea at VIP camp. And so that to me that was the crazy thing. That was the weird part. And so that stuck with me. I'll always remember that conversation. I think it's funny. And that was just something that I wrote down. Another thing, when I see Katie Ayers cheerleading, I always think to myself, she looks like so much fun to throw. And if you've ever seen her cheerleading, she can really fly. Clark Neal, best dancer I know. And if you've ever had the good fortune of going to a steel band concert and seeing Clark, I'm sure you agree. Krista Owens, okay. I'm glad I get to do this. So here, I made a prediction ahead of time. This is a sealed envelope. It says, and seated in the front row is, and I sealed it with my spit. Yeah, Krista Owens. Yeah, There she is. And Krista and her family are in the front row of the reserve section for the seniors and their family. And Krista, thank you for always being willing to sit front and center and the example that sets. While a lot of students try to move as far back as they can, Krista doesn't seem to mind my smell. So thank you, Krista. Let's see. Dale Bruton is the person most likely to do something completely unexpected. I can think of more than one occasion where he has just taken off running. Go read Lucas McNeil's Funniest Memory, and that's one example I can remember of and the comedic timing is perfect when it's great. Very unexpected. If Hayden Hood ever gets hurt, it might be Lucas McNeil's fault. That's something that I've noticed. To speak to that, if you'd go look at Hayden's, one of Hayden's memories, you'll see what I'm talking about there. I feel like every single school event that I show up to watch our students, I feel like Kinsey Goodman is there also, supporting her friends. And to me, that says a lot about how she values friendship, and that means a lot to me. And Holly Pettyjohn has found a secret way to fit 25 hours into every day. The way that how many things she's involved in, and with such a high level of commitment, is pretty amazing. I have fond memories of this class, and I'm gonna miss this class. And I have also such high hopes for their future. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, the verses that Hayden read earlier, to me, this really captures the hope that I have for our students that are graduating this year. I love Hebrews. I think a lot of the verses are poetic and some of my favorite verses in Scripture, but Hebrews is a pretty interesting book. It's written to Christians a whole generation removed from the life and teachings of Jesus. So if you'll remember early on in Acts, we see all that was taking place shortly after Jesus left. We see the great spirit that the early Christian church had. We see that they're celebrating Jesus, that the apostles are doing many miracles. Many people are sharing all their possessions, and they have everything in common. And thousands of people are being added to the body of Christ. This is what's happening while Jesus is fresh on everybody's memory. They're pretty close to the source. But then, those early Christians, they get married, and then they have little baby Christians, and then those baby Christians grow up, and we have a generation of Christians who only have stories of Jesus. They only what their parents tell them and what they've heard. And for some of them, that might not be enough to maintain a healthy and steadfast faith. And on top of all of that, they're facing abuse and persecution on account of a man that they didn't even know firsthand. And so my question is, can you blame them? Can you blame them for maybe not living up to their full potential as followers of Christ? So these are the people, and this is the context that the writer of Hebrews is writing to in Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm gonna read those verses again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Can you hear the context now? Can you hear the audience who this writer is writing to? Writing to encourage these Christians to get connected to the source. Remember who the foundation or who the founder of their faith is. Remember what the foundation of their faith is all about. I think any good runner will tell you that a trick to running uphill, setting your sights not directly in front of you, but instead on the horizon. At least that's what I've been told. I'm not a good runner, and I've said up here before that I only run if I'm being chased. But I have it on good authority that this is the trick to running uphill. Setting your sights not in front of you, but on the horizon. And the same principle applies to our faith. It says here in Hebrews chapter 12 that we should look to Jesus, who was looking at the cross. So while we are enduring maybe, you know, trials and pains of life, we're supposed to look to Jesus. And keep in mind that while Jesus was suffering and going through many trials, he had his sights set on the cross. The cross that was symbolic of a spirit of humility, symbolic of what was, you know, the great plan of salvation to redeem those who were actually persecuting him. So when things get hard, seniors, run the race with your sights set on Jesus, who had his sights set on the cross. When you step out on your own for the first time, your foundation is going to be tested. There's going to be things that shake you. Things are going to happen. You're going to be tempted to move away from doing what you know is right. I just want to tell you that the earthly rewards don't stand up to the rewards that await those who obey the gospel and follow Jesus. Don't lose sight of Jesus. Consider him always. I know your parents would tell you that. I know you've probably heard it so many times. But consider Jesus. And that can be difficult with life being so busy. There are things that can steal our focus. If you've lost sight of Jesus, if you've lost sight of the cross, or maybe you're realizing for the first time that that is what your focus needs to be on, you're in the right place. Nobody here is perfect, and we have shepherds that would love to talk to you about what it means to have your sights set on Jesus. So please feel free to come forward at this time as we stand and as we worship together.